Amen. Amen. As you have a seat, go ahead and take out your Bible and turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible there on a seat back in front of you. Go ahead and grab that. And that's our gift to you. We want everyone here to have a copy of God's word in your hands, not just for today, but for your week, for throughout that time. So Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews is towards the back of your Bible. If you want to, you can also put a marker in the first book of your Bible, Genesis. We're gonna be going there here in a little bit. So Hebrews and Genesis. As you're turning there, just a reminder of what Hebrews is all about. A theologian named Dennis Johnson, he says this to summarize it. Hebrews exhorts suffering and wavering Christians to endure rejection and hardship for their faith, because Jesus, God's Son, is the superior revelation of God, reconciler to God, and ruler who secures our heavenly inheritance, which is God's unshakable kingdom. That's what Hebrews is about. Two things this morning that we're gonna see from the first seven verses of Hebrews 11 is this. We're gonna see faith described and faith illustrated. Faith described and faith illustrated. Let's go to God's word now, the first seven verses of chapter 11. Father, open our eyes that we might see wondrous things from your word, of your beauty and your glory now this morning. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him up. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and must believe that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. All right, first, faith described. Faith described. Look at verse number one. Verse number one starts out, and actually verse one and verse six in this paragraph are these kind of brackets that both of them together are helping us understand what faith is through these descriptions, okay? So first, verse one, it says this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I love the New English translation of this verse. It translates it this way. Now, faith is being sure, assurance, being sure of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. So two words describing faith here are assurance and conviction. All right, now look down at verse six. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God, be reconciled to God, must do two things. Must believe that he exists and believe that he rewards those who seek him. Now, look at how those two things coincide with the two ideas from verse one, right? We have an assurance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? We're hoping that he rewards those who seek him, don't we? And we have a conviction of things not seen. Ultimately, what's not seen? God's not seen, right? So we believe that God exists. So faith includes both believing that God exists, and I would say in Hebrews, specifically believing that God exists includes all that God is for us in Jesus Christ. and believing that he rewards those that seek him. In Hebrews, what are some of the primary rewards, promises have we seen that the author is focusing on? Ultimately, the big one is the person and work of Jesus Christ, that we receive him, right? That he is our greatest treasure, right? What other rewards? Well, it's talked about salvation in Christ. It's talked about forgiveness of sins. It's talked about being counted righteous in him. It's talked about reconciliation to God, eternal life, access to God in relationship, all of which is received by grace through faith in him alone. So faith is confident trust, not a blind leap of faith, okay? So I'm gonna jump off this stage and someone will catch me. Front row just got worried, right? On what basis do I know that someone's gonna catch me? Well, on your track record of catching dumb pastors that jump off stages? No, there's no such thing. To jump off a stage without a basis on which I know that I will be caught would be blind, foolish, unsubstantiated trust. That is not what this is talking about. All right, here's a quick definition of faith here from this. Faith is a confident, hear that word, a confident trust in God and his promises. Faith is a confident trust in God and his promises. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. And by the way, this is not just initial saving faith in our lives either. This is sustaining faith. Our whole lives are meant to be oriented around and driven by and rooted in faith. If you look back a paragraph to chapter 10, verse 38, there's a quote there from Habakkuk 2:4, and it says, "My righteous one shall live. It doesn't say just start life. It says shall live by faith. Keep going here. Look down at verse 2. It says, for by faith, the people of old received their commendation, their approval by God. So how were the Old Testament saints saved and sustained? By faith. Look at verse 3. He says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. He goes all the way back to the beginning here. And he says, what you currently see in the universe at one point in time was unseen and was created out of no existing material, but rather by the word of God. How do we know this? Because God tells us in his word, and he is trustworthy. That's how. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. No one was there. Only the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect fellowship, and he created it all. How? He spoke. He said, let there be light, and what? There was light. Right? This week, as I was looking at this passage, right here at the beginning, you know, you see it starts out with kind of this description or definition of faith. And then is what it's going to do. We're going to see this over the next 3 weeks. All of chapter 11 is going to go person by person by person through these Old Testament saints. And it's going to show their faith. And then right there, right before it starts, you've got this verse about creation and faith. And it just drove me nuts all week. I'm like, one of these things is not like the other, right? This is all by faith, this person, by faith, this person. What does this verse have to do with the totality of this passage? And it was one of those things where finally at a late hour yesterday, I think the Lord peeled back some things and allowed me to see, here's what I think's going on here. This verse is here in order, before he jumps into this list of Old Testament saints, before he even gets there, he wants to show us the importance of faith. He wants to show us that everything we do, everything we believe, every way that we persevere, our very existence, the existence of the whole universe, all of it is understood by us only by faith. By faith. Faith is confident trust in God and his promises. Faith described. Now let's look at this. Faith is now illustrated. Faith is illustrated. The author of Hebrews now is going to illustrate faith by walking through this list of Old Testament saints. We're going to look at three of them today. As what he's saying here is, to persevere in this life, you must live by faith. Look to the faith of those who have gone before. Look to their faith as encouragement to keep going and as a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Okay, it's important to recognize as we do this, these are all just ordinary people. We have that in common with them. They're just ordinary people that are listed here who have an extraordinary God, the same God that we have. Now, some of these people did some jacked up stuff. Okay, I'm just going to lead out with that, all right? And I think we need to come to a passage like this and we need to recognize, okay, they're messed up. They were messed up, but we are too. Sorry. They were imperfect. And so are we. And this might frustrate some of us because the author of Hebrews, which remember, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he chooses to focus on each of these people's belief and subsequent obedience rather than their bad behavior, which we'll see is again a testimony to his faithfulness. Faith's used like 24 times in this passage. And we'll talk about this here more at the end, but we're gonna see that their faith results in obedience, right? Faith isn't a work by which we earn something from God. It's trust that bears the fruit of obedience. All right. Turn all the way to the left in your Bible. To Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to stay for a second here in Hebrews. The first person that we're going to look at is Abel. As you're turning, I'm going to read verse 4 of chapter 11, and I'll jump over to Genesis with you. Verse 4 says this, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." All right, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 are what we're gonna be in. And here's why we're doing this. I think sometimes Hebrews talks about each of these people. We wouldn't have to go back to Genesis and to look at these accounts. But sometimes I think we should. Some of us in here may have never actually read from Genesis chapter 4 and heard about this story of Cain and Abel, okay? So it's good for us sometimes to go see where these Old Testament passages are rooted when we're looking at the New Testament. So here we are, Genesis chapter 4. We're gonna read verses 1 through 7. It says this, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground." Verse 3, "And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And so Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.'" over it. All right. What was better about Abel's sacrifice? What was better about Abel's sacrifice? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us ultimately what was better about Abel's sacrifice is that it was done by faith. It was done as an overflow of his trust in God and his promises. It was by faith. And you can see right here in this passage, it's obvious that Cain's isn't done in faith. Look at his reactions. He has this reaction of anger to this and a temper tantrum even. And what we didn't read where it goes on to is Cain eventually, as an overflow of this anger and lack of faith, he murders his brother, even as God is shepherding him to choose to do what's right by faith. So ultimately, what's better about Abel's sacrifice is that it's from faith. But there's some other hints here about the quality of his sacrifice. Look down at verse 4. It said, Abel also brought of what? Of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. What's that communicating? That's communicating this is the good stuff. That's what this is communicating. Abel brings the first and the best. By faith, Abel offered God his first and his best. A question for us to consider this morning. Is that the testimony of your life? As an overflow of your trust in God and out of your love for him, do you offer him your best? The best of your time, the best of your gifts, the best of your worship, the best of your mind, the best of your energy. Do you give him the best? Or does he get the scraps of your life? Lord, I've done everything I want to do. I've bought everything I want to buy. I've thought about and gone everywhere that I want to go. Here, you can have the rest. Hear me. He is worthy of our best by faith. I'm going to turn back to Hebrews. Stay in Genesis. The second part of this verse on Abel, it says this, and through his faith, Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel left a legacy of faith as an example that we are still learning from. And my call to us would be, leave a legacy of faith, church. What will I leave my family and my friends and my church? What will I leave those closest to me that know me, that are in my spheres of my life? Hear me, leave them your faith. Hey, we spend so much time often even thinking about our inheritances and what we're going to pass on to the next generation. None of that's bad, right? That's the things that God has given us to steward, and we should steward them well and leave the next generation hopefully better because of what we leave for them. But the number one thing that we could leave the next generation, that those that are here when we are gone, is our faith. Our faith will continue even after God takes us home to testify to God's glory and his grace and his goodness and his truth. Leave your faith as a legacy. Abel, next. Next example that we see here is Enoch. We'll be in Genesis 5, but I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 first. It says this, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death and was not found because God had taken him. By the way, the only two that we have on record in scripture that this happened with is Enoch and Elijah. Elijah. Now, before he was taken up, he was commended as having pleased God. All right, Genesis chapter 5, what we have here is we have this genealogy, okay? Over and over and over again, it's gonna say so-and-so lived, they lived this many years, they had these kids, and then they died, and then they died, and then they died, and then they died, all the way down. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 21 is where this picks up. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. This phrase, walked with God, in the Old Testament, it's an expression that describes exactly what it means to live by faith in a relationship with God. So what did Enoch do? Day after day after day after day, by faith, he walked in relationship with God. And he walked in relationship with him when? Right up to eternity. Right up to the time that the Lord brought him home, right? Which is what we're called to do too. We're called to walk with God by faith in relationship all the way up to the day that he either calls us home or he comes again, either way. Next, Noah, we're gonna be in Genesis 6, but I'm gonna read verse 7 of Hebrews 11. It says this: by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Okay, let's look over at part of this. It's a long account, so we're just gonna read part. But Genesis 6, start down in verse 9. For these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. That doesn't mean perfect, that means right. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Good names. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, so make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Jump down to verse 17. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Verse 18, look, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh. You shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Verse 21, also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Here we go, verse 22. And Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Notice that. Noah's faith overflowed in action, in obedience. By the way, just a little side note here. The ark, if you have a chance, go back and read like chapters 6 through 9. Okay, the ark is probably the most beautiful picture of God's salvation that we have in all of Scripture. It's this beautiful picture of God's salvation from the floodwaters of judgment. And here, Noah, with his actions, testified to that salvation. And in doing that, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that he condemned those who didn't trust. And according to 2 Peter 2:5, he was a herald of righteousness to the world. And it says, and by faith, he was declared right with God. So, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Now, don't be tempted. Don't be tempted to think, man, how awesome are those guys? If you do that, you're gonna miss the whole point of this chapter. This passage is not ultimately a resume of their faithfulness. This is a resume of God's faithfulness. He was faithful to his character and his promises. Do you know what they did? They trusted. That's what they did. And then they obeyed as a result of that trust. Do me a favor. Look at our walls here on the side. Look at what these say. These say that as believers here, we do what? We worship Christ, we walk with Christ, and we work for Christ. This week, as I was in this passage, I was like, ooh, this is really cool. Abel worshiped God rightly, didn't he? Enoch did what? He walked in relationship with God. What did Noah do? Noah worked. By the way, in case you didn't know, we think Noah probably worked somewhere between 100 and 120 years, okay? Day after day after day after day, he built a big boat. And he built that big boat in a place where either A, they didn't really even know what rain was yet at this point, or at least they had no category for understanding a worldwide flood that would cover the tops of the mountains. And every single day, by faith, he worked in obedience to the Lord. And he was ridiculed by the people who were watching. And scripture tells us that in the midst of doing that and by doing that, he proclaimed God's coming judgment and offer of salvation. Now tell me this, Abel, Enoch, Noah, did they worship, walk, and work for faith? To earn something from God? No. They worshiped, they walked, and they worked from faith, as an overflow of their trust in God and his promises, and we are meant to do the same. So you're like, okay, Nate, if that's the case, if faith is that big of a deal for my perseverance in this life, how do I get more faith? How do I get more faith? Like, I'm thinking about it, and if faith was, you know, 0 to 10 on what faith is like in my life, I'm like a 2 and I want to be a 10. No, do not think about faith that way. All right? Faith isn't a genie lamp that you rub and you get all of your wishes that come true. It's not what it is. By faith, Nate, I believe I'll get a front row parking spot at Costco after church. Because apparently Costco's where you all go after church on Sundays. Because I think we ought to do a fourth service over there on Sunday mornings. But by faith, I believe I'll get an A on this test. Did you study? No. By faith, I claim, Nate, that it will be 82 degrees and sunny tomorrow in Indiana in February. You're gonna be sorely disappointed. By faith, I'm gonna see more money in my bank account, even though I'm addicted to those packages that come from Amazon every single day, and it's like Christmas morning. By faith, I believe the Eagles are gonna win tonight by 2 touchdowns. Just saying. No, church, hear me. No. Faith is not your muscle that you flex that wills something you want into existence. Faith is not the way that you get to manipulate God. Faith is trust. It's trust in him. It's trust in his character. It's trusting his purposes and his trustworthiness and his promises. That's what faith is. You're like, then Nate, how do I live by faith? Go, how do I do that? How do I persevere living by faith? First and foremost, you have to start your journey of faith. You have to start. And if you're here, and you have never trusted Christ for salvation, this is his offer of salvation to you today. This is his ark that he offers to save you from the floodwaters of judgment that you face as you meet him. And he says, listen, repent of your sins and trust that Jesus is the Son of God and died to save you from your sins, and you will be saved. And you will start that journey of faith today. And please, if you do that, tell someone that you did that so that we can walk alongside of you. Believer, how do I, Nate, continue to persevere living by faith? Three ways. You ready? Three words that start with an A. Ha! Normally they start with P's. It starts with an A. Okay? First thing is this. Ask. Ask. How often do we skip this step? The God of the universe, by his spirit, believer, stands ready to help you and to grow you and to sustain you. Like, that's a supernatural work that needs to happen in your life. Ask him. Cry out to the Lord and ask for him to cultivate his gift of faith in your life so that you will live trusting him. Ask him to do that supernatural work in you by his spirit. Start there. Second, do this. Apply. Apply yourself to God's word. To God's word. Continue to grow in understanding who he is and what he promises. Rehearse his promises to yourself daily. Lay hold of them as your anchor in the storm and in the calm. Remind yourself of his character, his love and his kindness and his mercy and his justice and his holiness. By the way, Hebrews tells us that God has revealed his character and his promises and his faithfulness most clearly in the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God. So look to Christ and focus on his faithfulness. God's word is our record of God's faithfulness across redemptive history. Apply yourself to it. Or maybe it'd be better to say, apply yourself to him through it. Ask him for his help. Apply yourself to God's word. And third, act. Or you could say, obey him by faith. All of these people acted in obedience to his command, and God was faithful to his promises. You see how that works? God says, I am who I am. I am who I say I am. See my character, hear my promises. And guess what? He says, I keep my promises. What do I do, God? He says, obey me. Trust me. Obey my revealed will, step by step by step, as you trust that he is who he says he is and does what he says he will do. And then watch. I'm working on memorizing Psalm 5 right now. Yes, I'm only through the fifth one and it's like a year in, but stink. I put myself on the spot here. He says this in verse 3 of Psalm 5. He says, in the morning, I prepare my sacrifice for you, O Lord, and I wait expectantly. That's beautiful. Like in the morning, I wake up day after day and I say, oh boy, I want to live by faith. I must live by faith in order to persevere through this life, right? So what do? I lay my request before the Lord and I ask him to do what only he can do in me and through me for his glory and for the spread of the gospel. I apply myself to his words so I actually know what his promises are, so I know what I can cling to in hope. And then what do? I wait expectantly for how he's going to answer as I walk obediently into what he's called me to do each and every day. That's how we live by faith. This is God's resume of faithfulness. Remember who he is. Remember what he's done. Keep trusting him. Keep obeying him. Keep looking to him for help and for hope. Hear me. This is what this is trying to tell us. He has always been faithful. Always. He is faithful now. And he will be faithful forever. And if I could summarize what we're supposed to take away from this, it's this. We can do it. We can persevere. How? By faith. And we have a record of those who have gone before that have persevered in the exact same way. We don't persevere by our strength, church. We persevere by trusting our good God and his promises. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and the hope that that brings us. Thank you so much for revealing your character to us, your love for us, and your promises. And thank you that we can know that you will do what you say you will do. Lord, help. Lord, cultivate increasingly in us individually and as your church, hearts of faith. Open our eyes to see what you're doing, Lord. Tune our affections to you. Increase our trust in you, Lord. May we, with your help, apply ourselves to know you through your word and cling to your promises, hundreds of promises that you have given us that you will fulfill and are fulfilling and have fulfilled, meant for us to cling to and to be a record of your faithfulness. And Lord, help us to walk obediently with you in this life and in the midst when things get hard to see, may we cling by faith to what we know, and that is that you are God and you keep your promises. And we see that most clearly in the sending of Jesus, who lived, died, and rose to accomplish our salvation. So now, Lord, we worship and we walk and we work from faith. We love you. We need you in your precious name. Amen.